From the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, August 19th. I'm Abby Larico. The first headlines from the Kansas City Chiefs Super Bowl shooting noted the 10 kids who had been shot. 6 months later, what do they remember?
I didn't know I got shot in my arm, though. I didn't know where I got shot at first. I just saw blood all on my hands.
Tracking the kids hurt in the Super Bowl celebration shooting, coming up on The Gateway. The St. Louis Public School District is once again scrambling to find reliable transportation for students as they head back to school today. Saturday, the district announced that another company pulled out last minute and can no longer provide 6 buses needed to get students to school. That means roughly 1,000 students at nearly 24 schools, including Adams, Booter, Gateway STEM, and Jefferson, will have to find alternative transportation. Many students in the district will take the Metro bus, taxis, or carpool instead. Some parents have also received gas cards. The district has been battling transportation disruption since May when its provider, Missouri Central Bus Company, terminated its contract. Francis Howell students return to the classroom tomorrow after last week the district's school board approved several controversial measures. As St. Louis Public Radio's Lauren Brennicke reports, some students and teachers are nervous that the policies will damage classroom dynamics.
One measure bans teachers in the Francis Howell School District from talking about gender identity or displaying LGBTQ-related items. Sophia Johnson is a freshman at Francis Howell North. Johnson says she and other queer students are rethinking what they can discuss at school.
Students will be a lot less willing to open up to their teachers because they don't see that they have that safe space. I think that it's a really bad choice on part of the board, and I think that it will really hurt student and teacher relationships.
Another policy will make books like The Diary of Anne Frank and The Giver against district guidelines. It's unclear which titles the board will make exceptions for. I'm Lauren Brennicke, St. Louis Public Radio.
Francis Howell School District officials say an investigation has found that a noose found at Francis Howell Central High School was not racially motivated. The news follows a viral photo taken by a district parent that shows a noose hanging from a stall in the men's restroom near the school's football field last Thursday. High school principal Suzanne Leake told parents in a letter Friday that school officials notified law enforcement officials who investigated it as a potential hate crime. Leake noted that officials reviewed security footage and interviewed students and coaches. Leake added, quote, "I recognize the emotional impact this news may have on many of our students and staff, particularly our students of color. To them, I say, I see you, you belong here, and you make our community better," end quote. Missouri teachers spend as much as $1,300 a year on school supplies, according to a new survey from Richfield Research Group. The National Education Association, a major teachers' union, says many school districts don't adequately stock classrooms. The association says the prices of school essentials have risen by more than 20% in recent years. Teachers and schools often depend on nonprofits and donations to help fill the gap. Missouri kindergarten teacher Kristen Beinecke says she has spent thousands of dollars of her own money over her 24 years in the classroom.
Sometimes teachers do sacrifice a lot of their own money and their time, but I think the core of it is they want to give the best learning environment to their students.
Beinecke says new teachers often spend the most money because their classrooms are blank slates. The average starting salary for Missouri teachers is about $37,000, the second lowest in the nation. Some Missouri cannabis business owners say their label and packaging approval submissions are collecting dust with the Division of Cannabis Regulation. The division extended the deadline from May 1st to September 1st in response to licensees' concerns that global shipping delays would prevent them from receiving compliant packaging in time. Typically, submission processing takes 35 to 50 days, but Nicholas Ranella, the CEO of Hippo's Cannabis, says his submissions have been pending for roughly 5 months, and he worries he could become non-compliant by the deadline.
And there's just a frustration with how long it's taking and the process in general. I mean, I've spent a lot of my time over the last 18 months on packaging and recalls.
However, the division's director, Amy Moore, notes there is not a backlog. She says if a licensee believes their submission is pending beyond the set 60-day mark, they should reach out to their compliance officer as soon as possible. Missouri's two major U.S. Senate candidates are on opposing sides when it comes to legalizing marijuana on a federal level. St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum explains why removing the federal ban could further open up the cannabis market in places like Missouri.
Missouri legalized marijuana for adults who are over 21 in 2023, but the drug is still illegal federally, and GOP Senator Josh Hawley is not in favor of changing that.
I think for kids and teenagers, the dangers of that, the long-term, the longitudinal use, I think the dangers are high.
Democrat Lucas Kuntz is in favor of ending federal marijuana prohibition. He added making it more available could help veterans around the country treat post-traumatic stress disorder.
This is about everyday people being able to make their own decisions.
While it's unlikely Congress will fully legalize marijuana anytime soon, there is bipartisan support to ease barriers for banks to loan to cannabis-related businesses. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker is getting his moment in primetime during the Democratic Convention this week. Dave McKinney reports.
Pritzker is scheduled to address the convention on Tuesday evening, and he said he's proud to have the opportunity to showcase Illinois.
It's an opportunity for me to brag about the state of Illinois, the history and the current situation of Illinois, and the values that we carry here as Democrats.
The second-term governor has a lot riding on a successful convention, a gathering he initially pushed for 3 years ago. In an interview with WBEZ, Pritzker also addressed his own electoral plans. He says he still has plenty of time to decide whether he'll seek a third term in 2026. This is Dave McKinney.
February 14th, 25 Kansas City Chiefs fans went to Union Station to celebrate the Super Bowl victory and left with bullet wounds. Nearly half of them were under the age of 18. Countless more children experienced the trauma firsthand. These kids continue to endure fear, anger, sleep problems. Peggy Lowe reports.
15-year-old Maria Nelson had to beg her mom to let her skip school and drive to the downtown parade with her friends. Her mom relented and suggested the teenager should leave early to get a good spot. But, of course, they're teenagers. So when they finally did arrive, they missed the parade, and Maria says the thicket of people was kind of a bummer.
So we were just stuck in between so many people the whole time. And then when we got out, I got shot. So, yeah, it was boring.
Boring in the beginning, maybe, but then it was chaos. She crawled to a nearby tree and sat up against it.
I didn't know I got shot in my arm, though. I didn't know where I got shot at first. I just saw blood all on my hands.
The bullet grazed Maria's jaw and hit her left shoulder, breaking it. The wounds healed surprisingly quickly. By April, her face had a scar she called a dent.
It was bumpy. Like, the scar is bumpy. And I could feel the scar tissue. I don't like it.
Then there are the emotional scars that linger. Like at school. Maria tried going back after the parade.
It was weird. Everyone, like, looked at me differently now. They looked at me like they cared now. Like, they all cared once something happened.
She tried online classes, which didn't work out. Other children survivors of the parade shooting also struggle. Like 11-year-old Samuel Arellano, who was shot in the side. He used to be talkative and outgoing. At school, after the parade, he says,
I never been like this before, but, like, if they tell me to sit down, I get mad. I don't know why.
Each of the kids cope in their own way. Maria makes jokes. Another teenager, Gabriella Majors-Darger, who was burned by sparks from a ricochet bullet, took up boxing for a time. She enjoyed it, but was hesitant to say why.
I'll seem mean if I say it.
Tell me.
I like beating people up. Not in a mean way, I swear.
The long-term effects of gun violence on kids are little researched and poorly understood. But the harm is pervasive. One study of kids injured by guns found significant increases in pain, psychiatric disorders, substance abuse, and medical spending. Patty Davis, a therapist at Children's Mercy Hospital in Kansas City, says the nature of gun violence causes many kids to worry that it will happen again.
So not just an accidental trauma, but a trauma that was perpetrated for violent purposes.
Davis says even kids who were there but not shot still flinch at abrupt loud noises like sirens, crowds, and fireworks. Maria Nelson's mom, Erica, watches for anything that might trigger a memory of the parade in her daughter. Like the afternoon they were about to leave a dance recital, and there was a sudden loud boom.
She dropped low to the ground, and then she jumped back up. She's like, oh my God, that was getting shot again. And people looked around because they were like, she said it so loud.
Erica quickly comforted her.
I was like, Maria, shh, shh, shh. It's okay. You're all right. They dropped a table. They're just moving stuff out. It was an accident.
Erica got Maria into therapy. She's hoping it helps. And she's encouraged because Maria wants to go back to school this month. But she's also wary. Maria told her there's a chance she could be shot again at school because schools get shot up a lot these days. Her mother replied, "We can't think like that." I'm Peggy Lowe.
That story was part of ongoing coverage of the aftermath of the parade shooting, produced by KCUR and KFF Health News with reporter Bram Sable-Smith. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri-St. Louis. Music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.